Illinois State Representative Brandon Phelps on the other line. Brandon, how are you, pal?
Hey, Tom. Doing great. I tell you what, it's cloudy up here and rained all day yesterday up here.
Yeah. You know, and here are a lot of people saying, hey, would you do a favor? Bail out the boat. Are we having a conversation in Springfield about the budget? What do you hear here, Brandon?
Well, you know, nothing right now, Tom. You know, let's just be honest with one another. We always are, and appreciate being on here with you again today. Nothing. There's still talk about doing some other appropriations on education. We already did the higher ed. We already did the social services, but still talking about it. We had caucus yesterday talking about education reform. Needs to happen. Hopefully it's going to. Andy Menar was brought up, still talking about his bill. So, Tom, I mean, just one of those things where I think you're going to see something with education funding, but not right now. Details aren't out right now.
Very often, you know, after you made your last appearance here, I have talked to literally everybody I can think of. And I used your term lifeline, and people seem to grab onto that pretty quickly. And that's that social services and higher education, $817 million, done in the last days of the last session by the House. Is the Senate going to take this up? Is it going to be voted on? Is it going to move?
So I went to the Senate floor yesterday. I got out of the House. Mayor Coleman from Carroll was up here. So I went to the Senate floor, talked to some of my buddies. And, I think they're going to take it up. I think you're going to see it passed. I really do. And then it's going to be on the governor if he's going to veto it or not. I don't know what he's going to do yet.
The governor, I spoke
to my Republican buddies, he may veto it.
Brandon, I spoke specifically to the governor on this subject, and
right.
he led
right.
me to believe that he would not support that.
I don't think he will either, Tom. I really don't. And here's the deal. Remember, I don't vote for anything until I talk to some of my buddies that cares about it more than anything. When I talked to SIU, they said, Brandon, we need every dollar we can get. And that money, whatever what anybody says, Tom, they can say anything they want. That money was just sitting in accounts, not doing anything. And we're just trying to put it to work. That's what we did. And hopefully the governor will not veto it. He'll sign it, but we'll see.
All right, now the governor, when I spoke to him, you know, his reservation about signing it seemed to be rooted on his desire to push for an entire budget, and that would be taken care of, and disseminating of that funds would be. When you look at the comments he made to me, it's like his item was, I want a budget. I want a balanced budget. This is not the way to get it done. And very often I wonder if everybody just tries to increase the pressure per square inch on this until something is done. And this brinkmanship has gotten us to where we are today.
So I would take the governor right now and hold his hand and say the same thing with him. And I'd do a press conference with him and I would tell him the same thing. I'm with him. I want a full budget, no matter what it is. I want that. But I'm telling you right now, there is no way that we're going to do the reforms that he wants. So you got to take what you can get. And that's why I vote on every appropriation I can that's going to help my district. And I'm telling you right now, Tom, that lifeline budget that we did helps every community college and it helps every university in this state. And that's why I voted for it.
By the way, while I've got this on my mind, I was doing homework yesterday and I saw that Ben Carson is doing a listening tour with HUD in Ohio, which I think of as being very close to Carroll.
Well, he needs to come to Carroll. I had a bunch of the good people of Carroll up here in Springfield yesterday, and they got to meet a lot of good people. And we talked to the State Board of Education. We talked to DCEO. We talked to IDA. I mean, we're ready, and I want the governor to really do something. And I hope the president does something there, Tom, because, man, we got to do something in Carroll. I mean, those kids – the one thing I'm worried about is the kids that that are in school there in Carroll. It may be like 200 kids that may be affected by this. And if they do that and they leave and go somewhere else, that school may be shut down. And we can't have that happen to Carroll. We can't have that happen at all.
One of the items that come up on the House floor this week was abortion, public funds for abortion. Your thoughts there, and how did you vote?
Vote a no. I do not want taxpayer money to ever fund abortions. I voted no. I had a lot of Republican friends said, wow, you really stood your ground. And I had to. Tom, I had to. I cannot, you know, with religiously and just the way I am, very, you know, pro-life conservative on that stuff. I just could not do it. And I'm happy with my vote, and I would do the same thing again.
You know, this is interesting. We take this up because, and here's the thing, not that this isn't a partisan issue, and this is what the legislature's for, to debate these issues. All right, adversarially, it's actually right now with the two-party system, it's inherently built to be adversarial. But, you know, you got to have the conversation, got to have the vote. And, of course, part of this is I don't know that it's abortion. It's about the 2018 election and getting somebody to say something they don't want to say or do. Prior to 2018, and there's that political aspect. And I'm thinking about when it comes to the life of children, why do we have to do that? But here we are. All right, the other item is, of course, minimum wage. Big deal on this.
Huge deal.
And the implications in a state where we are dog paddling from one disaster to the next, questionable water quality the entire time, that the state of Illinois can tell people how it needs to run its business when it fails to even provide itself with a budget for the state. The duplicity of that I find offensive on a huge level.
Huge level. Tom, still debating the issue on what I'm going to do. Got good people like George Shepherd down there at Myrdale. Talk to people every day about this. I hope it doesn't get called. I'm still debating on what to do on that. I want people to make a good wage, but I don't know if the timing is right because we don't have a budget, and you just said it. Why are we putting businesses right now when they don't need or we don't have a budget? And they're owed millions of dollars. And then here we want to do a minimum wage right now with their workers. I just don't know if the timing is right.
Right.
I told a bunch of people and I told the staff, I don't know if we should do this right now. So we're still debating this. Right now they don't have a vote, Tom. They don't have a vote.
All right. Now,
and
here's the thing.
We're waiting.
And see, when you start thinking about this and you go to the second order of effect in the state of Illinois, a state that does not have a budget but tells people how they conduct businesses. Sorry, you're a pharmacist. You can only write 10 prescriptions or fill 10 prescriptions an hour. All right. A state that can't do its job. Tells people how to do their jobs. People who cannot do anything tell everybody how to do anything. Now, let's take a look at the effect of minimum wage from a financial advisor who says to me, I've got three different businesses in this field that I work with. We ran the numbers. Each of them would go from making $25,000 to $40,000 a year profit to each of them losing a minimum of $15,000 to $28,000 in loss. The question is, what will we do? Here's the question. It's the businesses. We're talking about health care. They cannot cut any employees because of mandatory staffing requirements, a state law. They have not had any increase in what they are allowed to charge or collect because the state's trying to force them for this pay increase, minimum wage, while at the same time, the state doesn't pay them that they are owed the money. And they think, all right, I'll sell this business and I'll get out. Well, nobody's going to buy it. They're all scared to death. One of them's trying to sell. No one will even talk to her about buying. This is from a business in the businesses, and this is one of the situations. The state says, no, you have to have this much staff, and this is how much you have to pay them. And by the way, we're not going to pay the money we owe you.
Yeah. Tom, have you ever seen how much time, the times that the state dictates what you do in your business? I mean, that's a private entity. We should not be messing with that. We shouldn't be telling people what to pay. We shouldn't be telling people how to do things. So, you know, it's one of those things. Right now, I'm a no on the minimum wage. I'm no on trying to tell businesses how to run their business. I'm not ready to do that. And by the way, I was going to tell you, Tom, I don't know if you – I think you had J.B. Pritzker on.
I did.
He's coming to Springfield today. He thinks the world of you on his interview that he had the other day, and I hope you thought it was pretty good for that. He was really excited about having on.
Well, and we did. We had a really good time, but you know what was interesting is I told him the same thing I just told you about minimum wage. I said, except for him, I was a little harsher. I said, well, how many people do you want me to fire, J.B.?
And, Tom, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. And then at the end of the result, when you do the minimum wage, if you have my good friends at Morello's right now, if they do that, they're going to up the prices on everything, and it's going to hurt the consumer.
Yep. So the second order effect is always something that we look past. Randy, you and I have been friends for a long time, and you often say, hey, well, you know, I'm always going to be honest with you. Let me be honest with you. I'm to the point where, and I hate saying this out loud because I'm a big, burly man, I'm scared.
So am I. So am I.
And so I mean, and it's weird when, because I know what happens when people get afraid. They lock up. They seize up. They stop thinking clearly. And they make decisions sometimes rationally that I'm just going to sell my place and get out while the getting's good. Well, I made my decision. I've stuck with it. This is my state. I'm going to fight until it kills me. Or just a plain old heart attack or an aneurysm maybe. But that's the point where so many people have gotten who do business. You'd mentioned George Sheffer. He had gone to Springfield. I helped set up that meeting with you. I have talked to business people like the Chamber of Commerce. Les Odell this morning said, look, we got something good going on. We got Wallet Hub says we're the best small town, second best small town in America. Start a new business. And what's the first thing? We're challenged by the prospect of the future that the legislature will change our pay structure. Well, in fact, not doing the things it's committed to doing. This has got to be an incredibly uncomfortable position to be part of a body, to know how you feel about things. Our listeners know how you feel. They hear it. To be part of a body that's so unresponsive while at the same time have such a yearning to accomplish the goal of the mission, getting a budget, taking care of your people. To you, this must be personally offensive.
It's offensive. You have felt it ever since I've been on your show in the last few years. I'm ashamed of what's going on. I don't think I'm part of the problem. I think the part of the problem is that there's too many billionaires and millionaires that are running for office. But that's what's going on today, Tom. It's all ego. It's all politics. It should not be that way, but that's the way it is. And I hate it, and I want to do more. That's why every time I can vote for an appropriations or anything to help my district, that's why I'm voting for this stuff now. You talk about the stopgap. You can talk about whatever you want. This is real budgets that we're dealing with. And real things that's going to help SIU, help our community colleges. And, Tom, I'm going to continue to vote the way I am. I think I'm doing the right thing on that because there's no other alternative. And that's why I keep voting the way I am.
There's one thing that I often struggle with here is everybody in the room agrees we need a budget. Everybody in the room agrees that the educational spending formula is grossly out of date, probably has been for the neighborhood of 20 years. Everybody agrees on a long list of items that nobody agrees to solve. And that I find particularly from a taxpayer, citizen, voter, I find that aspect where everybody agrees it's wrong, but we can't change it because we might offend somebody, that's a stumbling block for us. Perception.
Absolutely. We had a two-hour caucus yesterday in the House. Two-hour caucus yesterday only on education reform. Talking about Andy Menard's bill. We're talking about all this other stuff we want to do. I think you're going to see something here soon. I really think there's going to be some kind of appropriations for K-12 education funding. I really do. But, Tom, there's not enough alternatives to vote on right now. I wish the governor would introduce something else. I'm ready. I was with his staff last night, and we just said, tell the governor we need that. He needs to introduce something else, and we're ready. But he doesn't have the votes for the reforms, Tom. That's right. The thing that's killing him. He does not have the votes for his turnaround agenda. We don't. But you can't keep the budget held hot. You can't hold the budget hostage, though, Tom. That's the thing what he's doing. He's holding the budget hostage, and we cannot allow that to happen.
But here's the thing, Brandon. I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to affect change in the state of Illinois so that we don't go down the same path, and the people are resistant to change. I mean, but because we all know that this is another thing in the state of Illinois. We can all agree that we've made some serious mistakes and we need to change. But how to affect that without holding the budget hostage, I guess, really would be the rub, wouldn't it?
Well, Tom, but here's the thing. Sooner or later, though, you got to lead, and he's the governor. He's got to lead this state. And sooner or later, you got to start counting noses.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the votes.
Right.
That's the thing. You got to start working and doing different things, what other governors have in the Republican and Democrat Party. You got to start leading and start counting noses. He doesn't have the votes. And that's the thing. he won't have the boats for a long time.
It's interesting really that won't. You mentioned it because I was talking to a friend of mine. He says, man, I think I want to buy a boat. And, well, it's kind of big. You can't take your boat where there's not enough water to float it. And that's the way the metaphor that I see for what you just said. If you got to have enough water to make that ship float, you got to have enough water, and you don't. Votes being the water in this occasion. We're running out of time. There's two things I want to hit with you very quickly before I let you go.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, the news about more layoffs of coal miners in your district. That's, you know, sends another shudder through your district. And then, of course, you've got the attempt to try to do some coal legislation here, you know, when it comes to regulation. Of course, the meeting in Murfreesboro, I believe, on Monday, saying regulation. Is it too late?
No, Tom, it's not too late. You know, everybody blamed Obama. And remember, I was one of the biggest critics on Obama. I even did legislation to go against Obama and all his EPA rules. I did all that. Obama's not in there anymore, and the coal's still struggling. Natural gas is kicking tail on everything. Actually, we're getting ready to meet with Bob Murray and Forsythe, some of the American coal. I'm worried about that mine more than anything right now, Tom. I just traveled recently to Houston, Texas, to meet with some officials from the Mexican government, trying to sell some of our coal to them. And I just think that every opportunity that we have to try to help my district, I'm there. We had some very close friends, me and you, that went down with me to Houston to try to sell this coal to the Mexican officials. But I'm doing anything and everything I can to make sure we prosper. I'm worried about what American Coal is going to do in Glacier. I'm worried about what Peabody is getting ready to do. I think they're getting ready to expand. But, Tom, I mean, this is a thing that we're going to have to, you can't just sell your coal in the U.S. anymore because there's too much competition. So that's why we're trying to go outside Illinois, outside the states, to try to do something. And hopefully we'll know something here soon. But I'm worried. I'm worried about the coal industry. And everybody keeps saying it was, Obama's fault. But we're still going through bad deals right now. And, Trump's there, and he was going to make a difference. And hopefully he will.
That I heard about these new layoffs, that this might have been tied into when they say mining conditions, they meant the physical mining conditions of the area they were working because of a recent roof collapse.
Yeah, Tom, it's still, you cannot imagine how many times I value those. I talk about how much I value those coal miners because they put their lives on the line every day too.
Right.
It's just it's a great industry for us in Illinois. I don't want it to come to an end, and that's why I'm still trying to figure out how to help them out.
I got a friend of mine who's driving to a coal mine. I think his round trip is over an hour and 45 minutes from his home in Harrisburg, around an hour and 45 minutes to his job every day.
Sure. And Tom, I mean, Illinois, we're doing great. I mean, I just told you, we talked about this quite a bit. We already surpassed Kentucky as the third leading producing state of coal. So, we're going to continue to do everything we can. I'm with the coal mine companies every day talking to them about what they need. And they just, natural gas is just killing us still. And hopefully that'll come to an end here soon.
All right. We got 30 seconds. And pretend 20 seconds of it is yours. And SIU President Randy Dunn is listening. And Kathy McClanahan from the Women's Center is listening. And you've got this $817 million lifeline vote. Tell them what you want them to hear in 20 seconds.
I voted the way they wanted me to. I will continue to do that because we need to make sure we use every dollar we can to help them out. And that money was just sitting in accounts, and that's why we did it. And all I would tell them, tell the Senate to pass it, and hopefully the governor will sign it.
Illinois State Representative Brandon Phelps. Brandon, thanks for every minute.